Oh, my goodness. The book of 1 John, chapter 3. Before we start chapter 3, I want to read another verse to you. Just to kind of remind you what we're talking about. It's in chapter 2, and it's verse number 28. And he says this to us, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Little children. See, beloved, he loves the ones he's writing to. God loves you. And God sent this letter to you and to me. He loves us. And he says, abide in him. Who's him? Right. Jesus Christ. God. Abide in Jesus. Let me put it in English. No, in American. I can't speak English. Let me put it in American. Stay where you belong. Have you drifted out lately, maybe, from where you belong? We do have that tendency, all of us, if we're not careful, to drift away from really where we belong. Are you staying where you belong? He says, my little children, stay where you belong, in Jesus. Stay there, abide there. That when he shall appear, and underline shall appear, there's a promise. He is coming back. You will see him again. Even the people that don't want to see him will see him again. Jesus is coming back. When he shall appear, we may have confidence. And we talked about this a little bit. I don't want to go through it again. I want to start chapter 3. But remember, we talked about there was a time in my life, maybe in yours too, when you sort of didn't want the Lord to come back. I know I'm a Christian, but I'd be embarrassed right now if he showed up and caught me doing what I'm doing, or living where I'm living, or acting like I'm acting. We may have confidence when he appears and not be ashamed before him. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But the truth is, you want to stay where you belong so that when the Lord comes to get you, you've been busy doing just what he set you to do. Even though right this moment, you may not even know what that is, but you're still busy seeking his will, reading the Bible, listening to him, trusting in him. So with that thought in mind, we can begin chapter 3. And I'll begin chapter 3 this way. Do you believe Jesus will come back? Do you really believe he will return? Because he says, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, in the early days when I first started in Calvary's, way back when men were iron and ships were wooden, a long time ago, we thought we knew Jesus would come. Probably that night before we left church, we knew it. And so we were young and we would have rapture drills. Right before you'd leave the church, after you'd praise and worship, everybody would hold hands, except the older people who were more mature. They would just keep sitting there. But us young people, we'd all stand, and then the pastor would say, rapture, and we'd all just hold hands and jump straight in the air. And you think, isn't that stupid? You know what's wise about it? What's wise about it is, first of all, we're not going to hold hands. We're going to be raptured so fast, you won't have time to grab nobody. Mike Warnke used to say, when we get raptured, I'm going to grab a sinner in each arm, with each hand, and as I float to the air, I'm going to say, do you repent or do I let go? That would be nice, but it's not going to work that way. It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen too fast. But the truth is, it's going to happen. We're going to float out of here. We're going to be gone. He's coming. Do you believe that? Because if you and I believe it, we'll live it. We get so excited about the fact that Jesus was going to come back at any moment. We were telling everybody, Jesus is coming soon. You need to repent now. You know, I want to pray about it. No, you don't you even think about it. No, there's no time. It's either yes or no. You're in or out. What do you say? And people say, these Jesus freaks. Remember those days? They called us Bible thumpers, Jesus freaks. We used to tell him Jesus doesn't make people into freaks. He makes freaks into people. We had all the answers back then. Are you excited that he's coming back? He is, you know. And he's going to set everything right. He's going to turn it all right side up again because it's all upside down right now. It's a mess. I saw a lady in her teens robbed a bank just a few days back because they were afraid they were going to lose their house. So she had their teens. It was the teens' idea. She just drove. Now they're all in trouble. She's looking at 30 years possibly in prison. All she wanted to do was just pay her rent. And I think, Lord, look, Lord, can you see this from where you're sitting? From your throne, can you hear and see, oh Lord, the suffering of people and the confusion and the mixed up thinking that's involved with being so afraid, having no hope at all. Oh Lord, come quickly. And look what we read. Behold, verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. With that thought in mind, that Jesus is coming back, John just said, "He's when he shall appear, we won't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed. We should be excited." With that thought in mind, John says, behold, come on, everybody, look at the love that God has given to us. Just look at it. When I think about Jesus coming back, John says, it just makes me say it out loud. Look at the love that God has given to us. Those who have been saved by grace through faith. Just look. You stop and take a look at the love. God adopted us into his family. When you got saved, no matter what day it was, no matter how old you were, or how young, whatever you like to say, no matter what, when you got saved, you were born again. God doesn't just break you down to your lowest common denominator and build you back up. No, there's nothing good in me and you, and so you and I had to be born again from above. Brand new. Paul tells the Corinthians, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, that verse says, he is a new creature, a creation. All things are passed away, all things have become new. You're brand new. You're born brand new. You're born, you're a baby now in God's kingdom. And you and I came in as babies, and now we're growing up. Well, in theory, right? We're growing. Now, when babies are born, how much can they do? Can you remember? Those of you that had children, can you remember those babies? Maybe you haven't had babies of your own, but maybe relatives had or friends, and you've kind of held them. They're kind of little. They're kind of bendy, and they're like little puppets. They don't, you know, nothing works. How much can babies do when they're born? Let's say it together. Nothing. They can't do anything, can they? Oh yeah, they make a little noise, but you know they can't even. You have to protect them from themselves. You gotta. As soon as they're born, their nails start growing. Even some are born with nails, and they'll scratch their own eyes out. They don't know. They can't control those things, and so sometimes they'll put little mittens on them, so they don't poke themselves and punch themselves in the, because they can't control those things. What are those? They can't even see them at first. They're not in focus. What can babies do? Nothing. You got born again. What could you do? Let's say it together. Nothing. Huh? Didn't. Oh, yeah, you don't like to talk about it, but, we couldn't, could we? No, we couldn't. We knew nothing about nothing. We knew nothing about the Lord. We knew except we were thrilled that we were saved. And what did we know? What can babies do? They can't do anything. They can't help themselves at all. If you don't feed them, they will die. If you don't care for them, they will die. They don't know what time it is. Yeah, right, moms, dads? They don't. They just know it's hungry in here, and you know how that goes, don't they? Can you imagine what it must have been like to be God when you were born, brought into the kingdom? How you whined and you messed yourself. Remember? And God had to clean it up. Remember that? Just as a little baby, you're born into the kingdom. And God starts caring for you and feeding you and loving you and holding you. And there you start to grow. You began to grow spiritually. Behold, take a look at the love that God has had for you and me through this whole thing. You take a look at that. That's amazing. The care and concern and time he had to spend just to get me and you growing. Oh, yeah, we don't think much about it, but John says, you got to. He's coming back, man. Jesus is so good. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I don't mean to be rude, but you ever see little newborns? They are ugly. Said, wow, is it a boy or a girl? You like to ask that because sometimes you're stunned and you don't want to say anything else. Whoa, baby. Is that a boy or a girl? And of course, the moms are always offended at that. I don't know why. Dads go, I don't know. We don't know. But, you know, moms will say, no, that's a girl. And we say polite things like, why don't you tape a bow to its head? You know, look, a little bow or something. That'd be kind of cool. And then you know it's a girl. Something taped to its head. Because they don't have hair. Well, sometimes. A pink bow, if it's a girl. Tape a baseball bat to its head if it's a boy. I guess that would be kind of cool. But I've noticed that most mothers, well, probably all, still think that baby's beautiful, don't they? They just go, isn't she beautiful? And you go, yeah. That's not the first word that came to my mind, but now that you bring it up, yeah. Mothers, God's given moms and dads a special love for that little one, haven't they? Come on, admit it. Yeah, I know you're thinking, you're insulting my kids. I know. Others are too. I just happen to do it out loud. Sure. But look at the special love that those parents have. They take that little, and they'll let the little one keep them up all night. And they'll go, but it doesn't stop there. Those of you that have little bitty ones, oh, wait. They start to grow up. It's kind of fun. You know, others might look at you right now and say, what is it? Maybe you ought to tape a little pink bow to her head. I mean, what is this? This is a mess. You got to be kidding. He's a child of God? You're kidding. She is saved. Look at her. Look at him. But you know what? God sees you as beautiful. Bow or no bow. Now go back and read it again. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He took you into his family, and he has a special love for you. You are his child, his son, his daughter. He loves you. It's a special love. And it takes nurturing. And it takes a lot of time. And it takes patience. And notice God has had all those with you and with me, hasn't he? And his mercies never end. They're new every morning. And look how he has dealt with you in your life. God loves you. And he will care for you. He has been, and he will care for you for the rest of your life. And let me ask you something, Christian. How long is the rest of your life? It never ends, does it? This body might fall over one of these days, but your life is eternal. It never ends. How long will the Lord love you as his child and take care of you? Forever and ever, world without end, eternity. Behold what manner of love the Father has placed upon us, given to us, bestowed upon us. Just look at the love that he has bestowed upon you. That you and I should be called sons and daughters of his. Isn't that amazing? It really is. When you look at us, people look at you, people look at me just like others look at babies. Oh my goodness. Doesn't look like anybody in the family. Still belong to him though. Still belong to him. He's my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him. That's the song of Moses. Remember that? You know why? Because he's worked a work. Read it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, the sons and daughters of God. And so because of that, the world does not know us. Because it didn't know him either. It knew him not. Literally, therefore, the world does not understand us. That's what the word literally means. It can't know. It can't comprehend what you're all about. You get born again, and the world cannot comprehend what you're all about. You know why? They couldn't begin to understand what Jesus was about either. They crucified. They couldn't figure this guy out. You couldn't get to him. You couldn't trap him. You couldn't trick him. They couldn't understand him. The world could not begin to understand Jesus Christ. And the things he said were just opposed to what was natural in us. Turn the other cheek, Jesus told his followers. That's not natural in us. The world can't begin to understand that whole thing. It's a joke. The world still jokes about turning the other cheek. I mean, they can't understand. And the world can't begin to understand you. I received an email just, I believe it was yesterday, from a friend from last time I saw him was, I believe, 1978. It was a long time ago, to me anyway. And in his email, he said, the things that I saw the Lord do over 20 years ago in you, the Lord is doing in me now, today. And basically he was saying, now it makes sense to me what you went through so long ago. And he made the statement, he said, I remember when we were hitting on the chicks in the bar rooms, you were witnessing to them. See, we were in a band together, and so I spent one of my nights in the bar room. And he says, I remember. And he says, we didn't tell you, but near the end, we got complaints from the waitresses and from the bartenders and the bar staff at almost every place we played. We never told you, but they didn't want you doing it, but none of them would come up and tell you themselves because they knew you'd witness to them, kind of thing. He says, I remember when we would finish playing, we would go back to wherever we were headed, we would have pizza, and then instead of laying down and watching television or just going to bed, he said, I remember you would read your Bible. But you know, he had no idea. It made no sense to him. But he says, today, even though it's been years, now that's happening in my life. I belong to Jesus. And now I'm born again. I mean, he really went into some in-depth. And it was really neat to hear him say that because I've been praying for him forever. In the world, literally, the world can't begin to understand you. This is foolishness to the world. The things that you do, going to church on a Friday, going to church on Sunday, going to church even in the middle of the week, reading your Bible, Even sometimes on your break at work and people look at you and say, man, I just don't get you. That is weird. What, do you worship that thing? No, man, it's the Word of God. I just want to read it. I just need to spend some time. Oh, you worship the Bible. You Christians are weird. And you can see where all these rumors come from. Because what did he read? What did we read? Therefore, the world does not know us, cannot understand us, comprehend us, because it knew him not. Take a look at the love that God has bestowed upon each one of us. That we should be called the sons of God, the daughters of God, children of God. Because of that, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, we're the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So let's continue the growing process. John's saying here that we are children of God right now. You know, I don't think that, you know, some people think, well, I'm going to be a child of God. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be God's son or God's daughter. No, you, if you are truly born again, you are a child of his right this very moment. A son or a daughter of God living on this earth. Can you imagine? Behold, what manner of love. You are his child now. He says, now are we the sons of God or the children of God. Now. You can call him Father this moment. You could bow before him and say, Father, I need a raise in my allowance. And God would listen. What he would say, I don't know. But I know he would listen because that's my daughter. That's my son. I love them. Look at the special care. Now, you've got these little children. Okay, you see, right now, we are not someday going to be. We are this very minute children of God. So are you if you've asked Jesus into your heart. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. Now, as children grow, you know, those of you that have been parents, you know the world is a dangerous place for them. It's not built for them quite yet. You know that because you've had little bitty ones. As they're learning to crawl, they hit things, they crawl over things. Things are hot. You know that. I mean, you keep your house as safe as you want, and you still have to watch that little one as they begin to roll around and actually learn to crawl, don't you? You have to keep up with them, know where they're at. Sometimes they're on the bed one minute, they've never turned over, and you hear a loud noise, and you think, oh, they learned to turn over. You hear bouncing, boom, 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 down the stairs. They were able to crawl to the stairs now. But normally you try to keep right near them and with them, don't you? So that they don't do those kinds of things like jump out the window or roll out or those kinds of things. They can hurt themselves. And when they begin to walk, it's even more dangerous for them, isn't it? Because furniture is built to destroy little children. And that's why when you see kids come in sometimes to church, their heads all beat up. What happened to you? He's learning to walk. Oh, you found the corner of that table. Oh, you found the wall over here. You know, their heads are all bandaged. And they got black eyes. And say, are you beating your children? No, he took his first three steps today. Where were they? Down. They were down. They were right down. It was cool. You should have seen them all the way to the basement. Isn't that true? It's exactly how it works. Isn't that how it works with us, Christian? Don't some of us have black eyes and bruises from learning to crawl with Jesus, learning to walk? Sometimes we're bruised, our ribs, you say, man, I'm hurting. Why? Well, I was walking with the Lord and I sort of slipped and I fell down. It's happened to you, hasn't it? And you know what? That little one, as they begin to grow, it doesn't take them very long. They want to be just like you. Have you noticed that about them? Oh, they grow out of it really fast. But there's this phase. But it's when they're really little, you got to catch them. There's this phase where they want to be just like you. And the little girls who can barely walk, their heads are all bandaged up. You see them, they're putting on their mother's shoes and they're trying to carry a purse and they're trying to walk and they can't walk anyway. And you're thinking, oh, this is dangerous. Oh, she's going to hurt her. But there they come walking through the house because they want to look like their mother does. You know, I was standing there one time. I remember Josh about 4 years old, maybe four and a half. And I was standing there thinking about something at the church. And some I have a tendency to stand, someone said like a cop. But I just put my hands on my hips and I'm thinking. And I look down and Josh is standing exactly like I'm standing. If I tap my foot, he taps his foot. What's he doing? He wants to be that way. He grew out of it. They do. But there's this time, there's this little frame, there's this little window when they want to act like you. You can teach them a lot that way. And there's this time. There's this time as we begin to grow. We go through this phase. You hope that it lasts. But remember the time when you thought, I just want to be like Jesus. Whatever Jesus does, that's what I do. Wherever he, I knew some people that wanted to dress like him. Just want to be so much like him. Want to, you know, buy a robe with, you know, and put it on and walk around. I've seen people do that, and I think, whatever. Nice robe. There's a time when you say, I want to talk like he does. I want to walk like he does. I want to be like him. When I grow up, that's what I want to be like. I remember being little and my dad was big. He got shorter as he got older. But boy, he was big and tough. And I wanted to be that way. You know, you want to be big like your dad. He had really big hands and he was big. And so I wanted to be like that too. Now, you come into your Father's kingdom. You're born again. You're little. You begin to grow. And you start looking to the Lord and you say, I want to be like that. I want to stay calm. Jesus stays so calm in these situations. Lord, help me. I want to act that way. That's what I want to do. You see, then they come to the stage. Your kids are growing up now. They got, you know, a little girl. She walks in the kitchen. She's got your shoes on and she's got this weird clothing. She looks like you. She said, that was just joking, in case anybody. Mom, you've seen your daughters do it. So you ask yourself this, moms and dads, how are you looking? How are you acting? How are you talking? What are you saying? Because I've had some parents, you know, you come to visit them and the little kid walks in. Well, there was a time when we walk into a family's house visiting from the church. It was an older pastor, elderly gentleman, and myself. We walk in, and they have this little, I think he was four or five, cute kid. Couldn't, you know, he had a kind of a lisp, but it was just a cute kid. And we sat down, and the mom went into the kitchen, and she says, well, ask the pastors if they'd like something to drink. So this little kid comes up, you know, and he says, Pastor, would you like something to drink? And you know how people will kind of give you a list to choose from. Well, he walks right over and goes, we got some Wiki. Opens up the cabinet there. I knew what he said. I can see. You think, yeah, I wonder where he learned that. You ask, how am I looking? How am I acting? And you notice as they grow, they want to help. Come on. Have you noticed that about kids? Remember the stage the kids went through where they wanted to help you? So she comes in the kitchen and she's got these big shoes on that are yours. And she walks up and she says, Mom, what are you doing? You know, I'm making dinner. So the little girl says, may I help you? I want to help. And the mom is thinking, okay, now I've got to give her something that will keep her out of the way. And so, you know, the mom says, sure, honey, you can help me. Would you please go and get me a spoon? Well, it's going to take her a while in those shoes to get over there. And she goes over, opens the drawer, and she pulls out a big old carving knife, walks back over and hands it to her mom. Okay, here's the question. Did she obey or not? Was she obedient to her mother or not? Would you go get me a spoon? Did she obey or not? You may not realize this, but the answer to that is yes, she obeyed. She's just too little and doesn't realize the difference yet between a spoon and this knife. So the mom would take that opportunity, I hope, to say something like this. You know, this is a knife. Let's go together. We'll go to the drawer and pull out. Here's a spoon. And hand it to her. And then you walk back over. Now, what is she doing? She wants to help. So in serving and obeying her mother, what's she doing? She's learning things, isn't she? In serving and obeying the Lord, what are we doing? We're learning. You're out there working on the car. Your son comes up and says, Dad, can I help you? And you're thinking, oh, what? I used to do this to my dad. Dad, can I help you? And, you know, my help was going to slow him down 2 to 3 hours easy. And so he would say something like, yeah, yes, son, give me a screwdriver. Would you go to the toolbox and grab me a screwdriver? So you walk to the toolbox, you get this little bitty guy walks to the toolbox, and he brings back a pair of pliers. Did he do what his dad asked him to do or not? Yes, he did, but he doesn't know the difference between a pair of pliers and a screwdriver. So the dad could say, no, son, let me show you. These are pliers. Here's how they work. Now let's go back, and here is a screwdriver. Now, he comes back, and he's working on the car. Kid starts getting in the way, and he says, would you go get me a Phillips screwdriver? So the kid runs back and pulls out what he knows to be a screwdriver, brings it back. And now the dad says, well, you know this is a screwdriver, but there's a difference between a flathead screwdriver. And you're what's happening to this little person who just wants to be with his father, or she just wants to be with her father, and they're serving and they're obeying? What's happening to them? They are actually growing up. They are learning. Yeah, you want to help sweep? And so they run and grab a rake. Okay, that won't work for this. This will work in the yard, but here's a broom for you can sweep here. And then you start telling them things like, there are different kinds of brooms for different surfaces. And what's happening? As these little ones are growing up, what are they learning? They're learning how to serve. They're learning how to walk. You know, the Bible is our toolbox. You know that, don't you? And you have many times, I know you laughed at the kids who brought back funny things, but haven't you many times when the Lord said, here's what I want you to do, you brought something else, God said, bring me a hammer, and you brought back a torque wrench? Lord, I got this out of your word, here it is, this is the right one. And God would say, no, that's not what's needed here. Let me show you the difference. Here's what's needed here. Here's the verse you want to use. Here's how you rightly divide my word here. Here's how this works. And God begins to grow you up, and as you what? Serve and obey, what happens? We grow up. It's a slow process, and our heads are bandaged a lot. We're learning to walk. We're learning how dangerous it is out there. We're learning how to use the tools. God gives us His Word, and we are beginning to learn and beginning to grow. See, it's a heart that wants to obey. And as that little heart obeys, they begin to learn, and they begin to grow. You'll read a scripture if you can find it. I'll let you find it. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience through the things he suffered. We're talking about Jesus Christ, right? Just to do what my Father wants. I want to act like my dad. I want to walk like my father. I want to help him. What are you doing, Dad? Well, I'm doing this. Can I help you? Now, Dad's patient and knows this is going to slow down the process, but he lets you help. My dad would let me help work on the car, but he knew it was going to make him miserable, and it was going to, and I'm probably going to, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'd hurt myself. My dad was a mechanic and worked on big things like tanks in the Army, big things. And so sometimes I'd go to work with him and I'd say, can I help? And he'd say, yeah, bring me that over there. It'll take me 3 hours to get that over here because I'm little and this thing is huge, right? But there were times when there were certain things you couldn't touch because they were like burning on fire. I'd touch them because I didn't know. And he tried to get me before I could get to him. But, you know, I learned pretty soon. You get to be about 9 or 10, you're going, I ain't going with you to work. You'll die in there, man. You start to learn what to touch, what not to touch. I mean, what happens is this. You start to serve the Lord. You're his child. You start to grow. You learn through obedience, don't you? That's how God teaches us. And you know, that's what he's saying. Now we are the children of God. Right now. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. You see, that email I got from a friend over 20 years ago, he never knew I was going to be a pastor. He just said, I remember when you were witnessing to the people in bar rooms. But you see, you know what? I never knew I was going to be a pastor. That's not why I was doing that. Someone will notice I'm doing it and they'll hire me. No, it wasn't that at all. You're trying to do what your Father's will is. You want these people to know Jesus Christ is Lord. You just want them to know. And so you, not grossly, but you share with them. And so while you're in a bar room, big deal. Back then, that was my job. I don't do that anymore. I try to share in other places. I had a friend who played professional football, and he played for the Atlanta Falcons. Is that still a team? And he was huge. And he was one of the small guys because he was a guard, offensive guard. He wasn't very big. Of course, he looked three times my size. And he looked like he had shoulder pads on when he was just standing there in a suit. And he could curl his car, pick it up and just do a few, put that down, yeah. Anybody can curl mine, but I mean, he had a big car. The guy was powerful. He was amazing. Well, we were at his house one time, and somehow pictures got pulled out. You know how that happens. You get him, somebody pulls out a picture. And so I'm looking at pictures of him when he was three. And I got to tell you, everybody, he looked just like any other three-year-old, bandaged up heads. I mean, he looked just like everybody else. You did not know at three he would play professional ball. I saw him in junior high. He played football. I guess he did okay, not that well, but in junior high he played football with his full equipment on. He was so skinny it didn't look like he had shoulder pads on. In junior high. Now you're looking at him and the guy is amazing. You know, you saw him, but it did not yet appear what he would be. You could not tell when he was three. You did not know. And I think the same thing is going on with us right now. People are looking at you. People are looking at me going, what? I mean, look, you're so useless. You're so this. But you know what? What the Bible says is now we are the children of God right now. That we know. But we're not finished yet. We're still growing. We're learning to walk. We're learning obedience. We're learning how to use this toolkit. We're learning all this stuff. We are growing. And that's what we pray for. He says, now we're the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. During the millennium, and I believe in a millennium, and I know more and more people don't. But during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, for a 1,000-year reign, just stick with that 1,000 years. What will your job be? You personally, not the church. I mean, I'm part of the church. We're the body. So all of us. No. Let's just get serious for a moment and answer me this. What will your job be in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? Many people say, well, I know what the answer to that is. I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus. True. But I want to know what your specific job will be. Rule and reign, what are you going to do? You know what? You don't know. Do you? I don't know. But here the scripture tells me. Here the scripture tells you. Here the scripture says, you and I are being prepared for that right now. Beloved, now we are the children of God. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. We have no idea what's in store. Just like my friend at three, never dreamed at that age to play professional sports. Maybe the dream started sometime later. Obviously it did, but there you go. You right now. You're just saying, I just want to walk with God. I don't know anything. I'm not sure what I'm good for. I don't know much about life. But you know God has a plan, and He's growing you. You watch. God raises His kids just right. He says, you know, beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, here it is again. When he shall appear. We just saw that in verse 28 of chapter 2. Now we're seeing it in verse 2 of chapter 3. Second time right here. When he shall appear. In other words, guys, Jesus is coming back. We should probably have a rapture drill. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God sees you. He sees us, his children. He sees you completed. He sees you as that pro football player in heaven. He sees you as whatever your calling will be throughout eternity. God sees you as that already. You know that, don't you? You and I don't. When we see, then we will understand. See, when we shall see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The story is told, I know you've heard it probably many, many times, of Michelangelo. A great big piece of marble was delivered to him, which he had asked for. And after they delivered that thing, I don't know how they, it must have been tough to move huge slabs of marble in those days. Now they just, you know, winch it up on a truck and go. But anyway, a huge piece of marble. And what he did was for about 5 minutes, just slowly walk around it and look at it. Now you got this slab of marble standing there, and this artist just slowly walks around and he's really looking over this chunk of marble. After he circled it maybe 10 or 20 times in that 5 minutes, this is what he said to one of his assistants. Isn't this beautiful? Now the assistant, guy just like me it sounds like, because the assistant replied to him, I guess so. Just looks like a hunk of marble to me. I like this guy. I mean, that's what I'd have said too. You're looking at that and you're going, well, yeah, it's marble. Wow. It's big. And here's a man says, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it perfect? And Michelangelo said, oh, I forgot. You don't see what I see. Let me tell you what I see. I see here a statue of King David. The assistant said, not to be impolite, but he said, I don't see anything but a piece of marble. And Michelangelo replied, that's because what I'm seeing now is in my heart. And I'll translate that so that you can see it too. You see, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, you'll be completed when the Lord comes back to get you glorified. And what's in God's heart and in his thoughts for you, that will be translated at that time. And others will see it too. We'll look around you and go, whoa, that's you. That's exactly what Scripture's saying here. God sees you and me, all his children. All of them, even the ones you don't like, even the ones you think aren't very spiritual, even the ones that you think aren't going to make it. God says, are they mine? Yes, then they will make it. Watch this. God sees us as finished products. Just like Michelangelo looks at that marble and says, that is a beautiful statue of King David. I can't see it. That's because it's in my heart. I see the finished product. Someday we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his son. Verse 3 is where we'll stop. Got all the way through the first three verses. And every man, every person, this includes men and women, and every person that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Every one of us that belongs to the Lord, that has this hope. What hope? A hope, first, that he's going to come back. He shall appear. Second, we'll be like him, for then we'll see him as he is. God will have worked that work. Right now you're growing, and you're going through growing pains. Maybe you get black eyes from some of the ways that you walk through this world, and you stumble and you hurt, you're in pain, and there's a little bit of frustration involved, and you're thinking, man, I'm not learning, I'm not growing. Yes, you are. You'll get it. You see, sometimes little babies get afraid to try and walk because they try it and they fall so many times they're a little bit gun shy now. But they get it. They get it. They get up and they get going. It'll happen. And see, everyone that has this hope, every person that has this hope in him purifies himself. What does that mean? We're not talking about making your own self righteous our righteousness is of Jesus Christ. What it means is that person walks in the Spirit. That person walks by the power of the Spirit in obedience. That person walks in the ways of the Lord, trusting the Lord. Purifying yourself. All it means is just like he said in verse 28. That's why I read it to you first. Now, little children, abide in him. Stay where you belong. Stay close to the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay there. Don't let anything get you out. Don't let anything take your attention away. Don't let anything draw you even away just a little bit. I heard some people talking about not wanting to go to Bible study. It was interesting to listen to the conversation. Because the logic was, well, I would go to Bible study, but you know, that's just not my normal routine. And I'm just in a routine that I don't want to. So the other person says, okay, well then I'll just conform to your routine. And I thought, man, it's your business. You're still free. It's grace. But you know something? Abide in him. How do I do that? Stay close. Stay so close to the shepherd that each time he takes a step, he has to kick you to make that step. That he calls you Hockey Puck for a nickname. Stay so close to the shepherd. Stay at his feet. Abide in him. It's all going to be clear one day. It's a little hazy right now. I know that. Some of it doesn't make sense to you. You don't have to pretend. Some people pretend that it makes all sense to them. It doesn't. Some of it doesn't make sense. Some of the things you're going through, although you know God's in control, in your mind you say, I trust you, Lord, but it really doesn't make sense. It's a puzzle, and you can't seem to get some of the pieces to match up. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because Paul says it this way, it's going to make sense someday. Trust him now. Obey him now. Listen to him now. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now, we see through a glass dimly or darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. He says, right now, it's like looking through. You've seen opaque glass. You look through it. You can see some things out there, maybe some shadows. You can't make out what it is. You don't know how many people it is. You're not sure what it is, but you see some movement over there. That's what Paul says. That's what we're seeing when we look toward the Lord and toward eternity. We know some of the things. We can sort of see images. I know there's heaven. I know God sits on the throne, but it's not real clear. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. All the things are going on. I know God's in control, but it sure seems like some things are falling through the cracks. Paul says, now it's like looking through this piece of glass and not being able to see very clearly. But then we'll be looking face to face. Isn't that what we read when John says, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then we'll see face to face. It'll be clear. It'll make sense. Right now, he says, I know in part, but then I'll know even as I am known. God's going to make it clear. Right now, you're going through growing pains. A lot of times you tell your children, we can't do that. But why? Well, this is how it works. But I don't understand. But you will, son, someday. You're a little young now, and this may be hard for you to grasp, but trust your dad. Trust your parents. Listen to me. Trust me. As you grow, this will make sense. And as you get older, a lot more things make sense. And when you finally get there, it's going to be clear, crystal clear. And you'll be glad. Listen, you'll be glad that it happened the way it happened. You'll be thankful that God was so patient and let you grow like that. Trust him. Just take a look at the love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called his sons and his daughters. Let's bow our heads.